In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reading from the Gospel reading from Luke chapter 17, and Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Here ends the reading. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our good and gracious God could be called the one and only good-hearted giver, the one who gives nothing but perfect gifts. The disdain of his enemies and the evil of men never restrain our good God from letting rain and snow and sun and richness fall upon the earth for all people. Because God loves all people and God blesses them even if they will not acknowledge him. And as he is the perfect and die-hard giver, he deserves to be thanked. He deserves to have a response of thanksgiving for his ceaseless goodness before men. And yet, when God gives us all of our blessings, and especially in Jesus Christ, he offers us a restored relationship with him. And that is the greatest blessing that we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as Jesus is the Son of God, this restored relationship that God would have with each and every sinful person is most akin to the Father, to the Son. A Father who is a provider and a source of life, the seed of life for his children. And we are his children, and he has provided for us as a good father. And we live because of him. But the nature of sin is that it severs our relationship with our Heavenly Father. In his goodness, he gives us health, home, wife, children, everything that we need to support this body and life. Yet in sin, we want health, we want home, we want wife and children, and everything that we need to support this body and life. But the nature of sin is that so long as sin reigns in our bodies, we want all those things instead of God. We tend, like those 9 lepers who were restored to life and health, to go off to our homes to find our life and livelihood, to find our family, children, and wife, and to express our gratitude to the priest and to our wife and to our children and show such a happy and thankful heart to them, but then to leave the giver of that good gift, in this text, Jesus Christ, behind. Yet God will have one of his 10. For many are called, but few are chosen. And those few are restored, not in happiness so much to the creation, but much more through faith to their Father, to the Creator. And faith gives thanks to that giver, not to the gifts around. It is my prayer for all of us that the Holy Spirit would work true faith in our hearts, for we cannot come up with faith of our own. It also is a good gift of our Heavenly Father in heaven. It is my prayer that we might have hearts of faith that lingers at Jesus' feet and will not leave until he says, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." Psalm 103 gives a good pattern for Thanksgiving, and we do well to think about it just for a minute here on this celebration of our Thanksgiving, our National Day of Thanksgiving. The psalmist says in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases." The psalmist directs our mouth into perfect thanksgiving, inspired by a perfect God. This thanksgiving starts out at the right place. It blesses God's holy name. It centers on God and who God is. And then it adds, lest we forget, and when we contemplate God, we might well forget everything else. Oh, and by the way, bless this Lord, O my soul. And by the way, don't forget all of his blessings. Don't forget of his benefits. They're so secondary, we might forget them when we were standing in the presence of God Himself and thanking Him. In truth, we consider the true nature of our relationship with God, then we must linger in awesome wonder at His feet and look upon God and say, "Oh, where would I be without You? Oh, had You not had mercy on me and restored me and loved me, where would I be? Oh, bless the Lord, all my soul and all that is within me. Oh, and I almost forgot. Thanks for my wife, too. Oh, and by the way, thank You for my children. Oh, and by the way, thank You also for my life of labor and work and the blessings that You give through there, my job and money." But you see, compared to seeing and communing with God, you might well, and you would do well sometimes, to forget all the rest. Shouldn't that be the way of it for people who have seen God die in love for us on the cross? Yet one of the Greek words in the Bible that is translated in our English editions as sin is hamartia. And that word is good. It's good to think about the basic Greek meaning of that word, hamartia. It could literally be translated not only as sin, but missing the mark. That's what we see in these 9 lepers who were healed by Jesus and then went off. They were thankful and they wanted to shoot their little arrows of thanksgiving, but the bow shot in the wrong direction and couldn't hit the mark. They owed their thanks and should have given their thanks to God, but instead they directed their thankful hearts anywhere but to God. They left Jesus behind. Their thanksgiving was not aimed at God, and therefore it is hamartia. It is missing the mark. And as it is wrong to dishonor God and to disregard God, that is the very nature of sin. Certainly we can understand what they were going through. They had been separated from their families by a terrible disease. It was called leprosy, and it was fatal. Their life had no hope. There was no cure. God teaches us all in such illness the nature of sin. It takes away our life, it takes away our families, it takes away our means of supporting life altogether. But so long as we still have those things, we slumber and sleep spiritually in ignorance of our plight because of our sin and our hamartia. We love those things, we occupy ourselves with the things of the world, and we don't give a thought to God because of our sin. Because we don't feel our sin, because we are spiritually dead, and dead things don't feel anything. The deadly disease that is robbing us of our life is ignored by us as long as we're healthy, wealthy, and wise. But then the sin in our hearts presents itself with sin in our bodies, and there's a link. Not a one-to-one link. When you get sick, you don't say, "Which sin did I do to get this disease?" But sin is a common condition of our sinful race, and they are tied together towards death. When these 10 men noted a rash or a lesion on their skin, there was a procedure. We would go to the doctor in their culture. They went to the priest. He examined them. He declared them to be leprous and contagious, and he banished them from their homes and societies and said that they had to leave. And the priests of God still do this to this day in a spiritual sense. When you hear from the pulpit the preaching of the law and you are declared leprous with sin, when you are called guilty and sinful, and you can go through all the stages of death and deny it or get mad about it or try to sidestep it, but God is not one who does hamartia. He doesn't miss the mark. And that's the painful verdict that we have because of sin. It is fatal. It takes us away from God, our Father. It robs us of life, happiness, and everything else. And it's at this point, these 10 guys can't avoid it. But in their hopelessness and despair, Christ came along. And they had heard that He had the power, that He was from God, that He was perhaps the Messiah that would deliver all those who were in the prison of death. And they cried out to Him just what we cried out in the Gloria Patri today in the liturgy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. We sing that in the liturgy because we acknowledge our leprosy and our sin. We've still got it. That's why it's in there. And that should be why we're singing it. Don't just blah, blah, blah while you're singing the liturgy. Plug in your heart and your mind and know why that you're saying that. Have mercy, I'm a leper. Now, they were all healed by our gracious Lord. 9 of them, with their healing, left Jesus behind to show themselves to the priest. When they got to the priest, they would be given permission in their health, the all clear, to return to their life. And they would take their faithful hearts and pour their gratitude out for their careers, for their wives, for their children. And they were so glad to have all of that restored to them. And that was the nature of their thanksgiving. But one leper did not miss the mark. He was not only restored to the gifts that God freely gives to the just and the unrighteous alike, but this one could not go to the priest or back to his old life. Why? Because he had found the very source of life in God, in Jesus Christ. He found in Jesus every blessing that he could ever hope to ever have. And he would not go back to his old life, for he had found the source of all life in Christ. He blessed the Lord with all that it was within him and was willing to forget all of his benefits if only he could stay there with his Lord. Christ also gives us temporal restorations in our lives, does he not? We get better when we've been ill. We get better from the Lord's hands than we have deserved. Even when it seems that we get evil, it's better than we have deserved, for we know from Scripture we've deserved hell, and none of us have tasted that yet. But God continues to be good to us, and he sends us all to judgment. As he sent the lepers to the priest to be judged and cleared, we are also on the way to be judged and either judged as still sick or cleared. That judgment is going to take place when Jesus comes back in his visible return. And then you will either be healed by God's grace, under God's grace, through God's grace, with God's grace, or you will have left Christ and his grace behind and you won't be healed at all. You will be sick. And you will be turned away forever. Why? Because God is gracious. We miss the mark, but God continues to forgive us. We miss the mark of thanking him as we should, and we love the creation instead of the Creator. We all have done that. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. But God loves us, and he's pursuing us still. He still hears our painful cries when our hearts wake up to the leprosy of sin in us, and we, instead of blah, blah, blahing the liturgy, mean it from our heart and say, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy, because I need it. When we realize the sickness of sin that lives within us, Christ is still there. Christ is there still to heal us, and Christ will not bid us leave, but give us grace and healing. When Christ says, was no one found to return to give thanks to God except this foreigner, he shows the nature of true thanksgiving. It is not thanks for the gift of restoration of a sinner to the things that sin robs him of, family, honor, riches, but thanksgiving is for a sinner's restoration to God, whom he would lose because of his sin. And that restoration is found for domestic people, Lutherans, if you will, Michiganders, if you will, people from all over the world, even foreigners. That restoration is found in only one place, and that is in Jesus Christ. This man did not return to God to give thanks, did return to God to give thanks when he returned to Jesus, instead of going to Jerusalem and the temple and the priesthood. And that shows he understood that God was faithful to his promises. The promised presence of God in his temple in Jerusalem was a sacred thing to all of these Jews, and this foreigner, this Samaritan, knew it well. That's the place where God promised to dwell, and it was the priest that was his servants. But in Christ, what is foreshadowed in the temple is put into the flesh. When Pastor Zwanitzer read from Deuteronomy that man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, we say to ourselves, well, where's the lecture hall and how long am I going to have to sit there and listen? Because God has said a lot. If that's what I need in order to be saved, it's going to be a long lecture that I'm going to hear because God has said at least the Bible. Have you ever sat and had that read to you in toto? You don't have to. It's all in Jesus. And Jesus is here. And Jesus is here for you as he was for that leper. Because Jesus in his flesh is every word that has been declared by God. And he is the way in which we sinners can live in the grace of God. The truly saved must then also remember Jesus' benefits. The man was there, the man was at Jesus' feet, and he was seeing God and worshiping God, but he must also remember his benefits. The chief benefit is the forgiveness of our sins. Are you forgetting about that? Well, you don't have to. Jesus has given you a meal, and he said to you, do this in remembrance of me. If you're not remembering, you're forgetting. But in that feast, we come near at the feet of Jesus, and there his body and blood drip and are placed into our mouths, and that is the fruit of the tree of life. For where was the body and blood of Jesus Christ separated from himself? It was on the tree of life, on the cross, on Golgotha. It was on the place where he bore our sins. It was the place where God did not harm our tia, but hit the mark, and he hit Jesus for you and me, for our sins, for our ignorance to God, for our loving creatures instead of the Creator. Christ died for us, and underneath him there is no wrath, for he has taken it all. And when the sweet body and blood of Christ comes to us under those beautiful forms of bread and wine that are wonderful for our bodies and healing for our souls, there we have the true Thanksgiving feast. That's where failures like us are incorporated by the victory of Christ. That's where sinners like us receive the holiness of Jesus Christ. And that's where forgetful people like us say, as the thief of the cross, Lord, remember me when you come into my kingdom, and where the Holy Spirit brings to our mind and remembrance again that we who so often fail have victory in the one who gave his victory to us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And if that is the case, then we are like that man at the feet of Jesus. Now, it's sort of the silence of the text, but I'll fill the silence a little bit. Preachers do that sometimes well and sometimes not so well. Jesus says, go. Why did he say that? He said it because the man would have stayed there forever had Jesus not said to go. That's the place where Christians want to be, at the feet and with Jesus, hearing his words of life. And nothing in the world could make them leave except for the words of their master, go. And that's what we will do after we have our Thanksgiving feast of the Lord's Supper this evening. God will say to us, go in peace. Go out into your world. Go and see the benefits that I have given to you. See your wife and your husband and your family and your friends and the Thanksgiving turkey and all of the benefits that I have given to you. Go, I know you'd rather be with me and to consider me, but go and be my people there. Take your Thanksgiving out into the world. Take your Savior out into the world. Take him out there and say, look what he has done for me. He has healed me. He has taken away my sin. He has given me blessing that will never end. And that Thanksgiving, my friends, will never miss the mark. Amen. And may the peace that gives us, that surpasses all understanding, then keep your hearts and your minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.